Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and today I'm joined by our regular contributor, Declan McConville. Welcome to the show, Declan.
Hello, good afternoon.
We have faced scaremongering headlines from the Scottish press numerous times in the past, talking about Scottish football Armageddon, and this was something that was touted time and time again. There would be Armageddon without Rangers, there'd be Armageddon without a TV deal, and everything that Scottish football and Celtic has come up against, they've come through it, and they've come through it relatively unscathed, Celtic that is. And we're now facing a situation where a virus is the biggest threat to Scottish football. What do you think the landscape of Scottish football will be, Declan, if and when we get back to playing regularly and actually being able to go and watch Celtic playing again?
I think the market changing, the market that's been built up in the past 25 years, the high transfer fees, high player wages, that will probably start to go, and we'll probably see the end of those multi-hundred million pound transfers, which will be beneficial in a way to Celtic because it might level the playing field a wee bit, especially in terms of European football, where the Champions League and Europa League just seems a million miles apart, especially even going through all those qualifying stages for the money that's pumped into the big clubs. But I certainly think, I mean, the stat that Celtic meeting up to for the Scottish football GDP is phenomenal. So Celtic should have enough to come through this. They will be affected in some way, but not as badly affected as some of the smaller clubs. One of the positive stories was that Livingston had turned over a profit. Probably a club that come in for a bit of stick, due to the fact that they don't fill their stadium out. They give majority of the stadium, especially when Celtic and Rangers are there, they give them near enough, you know, they give them free stands, so they probably came in for a bit of stick, but they should be okay. But some of the other big clubs will find this difficult and will most definitely take a hit, and the league may become a bit weaker whenever it does recommence, hopefully in later months in the year.
I think a club like Dundee United, who have shown ambition in relation to getting out of the Championship and getting into the Premiership, and in order to do that, they have obviously invested huge amounts in that side and the playing staff just to get out of the league, you know, so that they can then have the big fixtures again. And I was brought up with Dundee United being a Premier League club, Declan. I always regard Dundee United as a Premier League team. I always thought that the league is a better league with them, with their facilities, their stadium, their fans. And they're the types of clubs who obviously might take a really big hit on this, and other clubs who are just investing to keep themselves in the league may also really be facing huge financial struggles. I think the biggest issue is the fact that no one knows how long this is going to take. 3 months is long enough for any business or household to start struggling, but if you then extend that to 6 months, which is a figure that's been mentioned time and time again, then we are moving into perilous waters for many, many clubs. I think it's something that we don't take for granted. Celtic are in a sound financial footing. They've got the foundations there, Declan, to ride this out. But obviously, once it gets back to what we would probably call normal or normality, it's not as if we're going to be starting again, but we'll certainly have to build that up again, won't we? And there won't be this mammoth amount of money sitting there in the vault, because obviously, when there's no income coming into the club, we will have to start utilising some of those riches that we have and we're thankful for having, because there's other clubs, and obviously what we're referring to is Rangers. There's other clubs, and in particular Rangers, who don't have the money to back that up, and they won't get investors because every business is basically hedging their bets at this moment in time.
Of course, yeah.
So the point I was making, and it may have sounded dramatic, is we really don't know what the Scottish Football League is going to look like when we get back to playing football. And we've seen all the nonsense on social media about null and void. That will not happen. The games will not be played, and the title will be won whilst we're all sitting in our houses in isolation. How on earth, Declan, do we celebrate that? How can we use the wonders of modern technology to celebrate a title win when we can't all be together as we normally would be?
I don't know, maybe some kind of NHS-style clap, or I really don't know what we're going to need to do, but certainly I don't think the games are going to be played anytime soon, and you cannot null and void the league, so I would imagine if it's going to be decided, it needs to be given to Celtic, because you can't disregard 30 games. But I was really glad that Celtic came out, and they're going to be paying all workers. They're still going to get 100% of their pay, which again is another positive step to show Celtic's, you know, money and financial power in Scottish football.
Yeah, you mentioned there just in dispatches when we were leading up to this particular point, you mentioned there Livingston were one of the clubs who gave Celtic and Rangers 3 stands knowing that they would be filled. I always found it absurd before the situation we're in now, where the finances are really going to be under more scrutiny than ever before. I always found it absurd, Declan, that clubs didn't do that anyway. I mean, you've got 4 games potentially where you would be able to more or less fill your stadium, even though it gives the opposition club, i.e. Celtic, 3 stands. And one of the arguments was that it gives away home advantage. I don't believe it does. I mean, McDermott Park, just a couple of months ago, the home advantage was the fact that you were playing on a totty field of a pitch, and the environment isn't just the people that's actually on the terrace and in the stands. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, if you look at the game back in October at Livingston, there was 3 stands packed with Celtic supporters, and 3 stands packed with Celtic supporters last month, and we never won any of those 2 games. You know, we were defeated and we drew one of the games. So the stuff about the home advantage, giving the away team advantage by giving them a large section of support, you know, as you say, pitches are a leveller, style of play is a leveller, sometimes you have off days. So, you know, Livingston have proved maybe to other teams that you can still give the away support a large section of the stadium and still play well.
Absolutely, you're talking about a leveller, and the situation we're in with the coronavirus certainly is going to be a massive leveller right across the globe in relation to football, and it's not going to get to a stage where Celtic are going to be brought down to the level of other clubs within the same league. I think we're looking on a kind of wider scale, where, as you say, the wages, the wage structure, the way that a club is structured as a business is going to have to change, to the point where people won't be paid hundreds of thousands of pounds every week for playing in a certain league, because it is really just by geographical default that you are in a specific league and getting paid that kind of money. For a lot of these clubs, yep. For a lot of these clubs, Celtic are as big a club as anyone in English football. And, you know, it's getting to the stage I'm now thinking, well, at what point will Celtic be playing or not in Scottish football? It's something that's coming back to my mind in relation to the aftermath of the coronavirus. It's probably a discussion for another day when we see what the landscape of Scottish football is going to look like. But one thing is for sure, Declan, when we do go back to watch the famous green and white hoops, the man captain in the side will be the one and only Scott Brown. So let's have a wee chat about Scott Brown, his career at Celtic, and the role he has played, in particular, in the treble successes. Now, Scott Brown, obviously, someone who is a fellow Fifer, comes from Hillabeath, not far from myself, and you always knew about Scott Brown locally. You always always knew about his football ability. And there was always these rumours flying about that he was a Rangers fan and all that nonsense. Now, I've spoken to people who know him directly and people who are related to him, and they've always told me that was nonsense. He's always been a Hibs fan. Now, when Celtic signed Scott Brown, what was your thoughts at that moment in time? Were you even born?
Yes, I was born. Aye. Frankly, this is one of the guys that I've been here for the whole time at Celtic. You know, that was kind of round about the time I started going to games. So I do remember him coming in, signing him from Hibs. And it was quite a lot of money. They hadn't kind of spent £4.5 million on him. So it was a big signing. And I remember him playing for Hibs. So he came in, but when he came in, we saw a very raw talent here that was losing the rag a lot. I mean, he did play a key part in Gordon Strachan's last title. 2007-08 season, but he never really kind of developed into the player he's become until later years.
I'm just thinking back to the these daft rumours about him being a Rangers fan and having Rangers tattoos and all this kind of nonsense, and there's obviously a picture that Joey Barton used during a tit for tat on social media where Scott Brown's wearing the old Rangers jersey. That was the team that he was playing for, wore the Rangers jerseys. Yep. You know that. These are the types of things that youth football teams do to make sure their team's playing in a new kit. If they can pick up a jersey cheap, they will. And obviously Scott Brown was wearing the Rangers shirt. It's not as if he was wearing it because he was on holiday enjoying the fact that he was a Rangers fan. He's a Hibs fan. And his associates around about the Fife area are Hibs fans and involved in the Hibs scene, if you like. So Scott Brown coming in, I think, was massive in respect to the fact that he was the most expensive Scottish-to-Scottish club signing. Rangers fans had been singing that they were going to sign him, and then he comes to us, which was just fantastic. And I don't think we saw the real Scott Brown until much later. But obviously, there were other issues during the earlier part of his career, Declan, in relation to the illness of his sister, who sadly passed away. And you were at the recent event with Gordon Strachan, when Gordon told that story about the passing of Tommy Burns, who obviously had cancer at the same time as Scott's sister. And on the morning that the news broke that Tommy had passed away, Scott Brown's sister received a bouquet of flowers from Tommy Burns. So even though he was in his last days, he was thinking about Scott Brown's sister, which I just think is a measure of the man, isn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, Scott Brown fought back from the personal difficulties that he faced, obviously. And it was actually Tony Mowbray that made him the captain, Declan. Were you surprised at that moment in time? Because, I mean, what Mowbray did as soon as he came in is he dismantled the centre-half partnership of the then-captain, Steve McManus, and the then Scotland Player of the Year, Gary Caldwell. Love them or loathe them, that was their centre-half partnership. And Bruni gets the captain's armband. Did you feel at that point that when a new manager comes in, that someone else might be given the captaincy?
I think early on, I mean, that was probably the first season I kind of started going home and away with my dad to games. And during that season, Celtic really, really badly struggled. And at times, they were kind of was under the cosh. I remember a Scottish Cup tie in Dunfermline of all places, and we won the game eventually 4-2, and it took Robbie Keane to come on to save the game. But at times that season we really desperately struggled, and I think it was that month that Scott had been given the captain's armband at Rugby Park and Tony had him playing at left back. So, you know, there was just complete disarray really in the team and at the club with what was going on, manager and team. And I think when he got the armband, it probably wasn't at the right time. But then obviously Tony leaves, gets a sack after a terrible defeat at St Mirren, and Lenny comes in, and it seems to just change the whole dynamic, because Scott really stepped into the role as captain when Neil seemed to come back at the club.
He certainly did, and he became a legendary figure after his goal against Rangers, where he celebrated right in front of Diouf. Now, that particular moment, that moment in time, I feel is pivotal in the Celtic career of Scott Brown, where he introduced to the fans worldwide what is now called the Bruni. Now, that kind of expression by Scott Brown, or the expression of Neil Lennon on the sidelines, is the same as any other high-profile footballer. However, Bruni and Neil Lennon come in for a huge amount of flack, not only by the media, but by their fellow professionals and other managers within the league. Scott Brown has become almost a hate figure. You know, you see it time and time again just this season. St Johnstone's official Twitter page going on about Scott Brown scathing one of their players. That's almost as if Scott Brown is fair game. Why do you think that is? Is that just a measure of Celtic success, that we have become these figures of hate?
I think so, to an extent, yeah. I mean, Scott is one of those players. I think if you had him in your team, he would absolutely love them like we do as Celtic supporters, whereas other clubs that play against him don't like playing against him because they know he's a guy that will always put the marker down and he'll always be the guy for the team to follow. Generally when that team follow him in games, they go on to win the game. So the success he's had as a player, you know, he's won more trophies, I think, than Hearts as a football club has, which says, which speaks volumes. He's just that player because teams don't like the way he plays the game, because he will put the marker down and he'll be what a Celtic captain should be, you know, strong, powerful, dominant, and that midfield general that clubs just don't obviously like.
I used the term legendary figure. I think that was the beginnings of that. He certainly has become a legend, there's no doubt about it. Just the other day there, I spoke about James Forrest and Callum McGregor being Celtic legends, and I don't take that back, because I truly believe that throughout this period of what will be 9 in a row in the not too distant future, I am sure, Declan, these people are legends. Now, we're going to talk about some of the successes of Scott Brown, and what I would ask you is, would you regard them as a modern day legend?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yes, 100%.
Billy McNeil is undoubtedly the greatest Celtic captain in the history of the club, and it is unlikely that that will ever change when you look at the success that we had under Billy McNeil, and also the vast amount of appearances that he made. And he's obviously gone on to galvanise that even further as a manager as well, Declan. But you then start looking down the history of other captains that Celtic have had. Where about do you regard Scott Brown as a Celtic captain when you consider the entire history of this great football club?
Probably after Billy, success wise especially. You know, I mean, people will obviously have their memory of Danny McGrain, Roy Aitken, but to me, Scott, right after Billy McNeil, just due to what he's won and the way he carries himself as a Celtic captain, you know, the work he does with the Kano Foundation, other charity work he does, he's just a really good guy off the park, as good as he is on the park, and the way he just carries himself, and is a really good, to me, ambassador for Celtic Football Club.
He certainly is, and I know that you've written about Scott Brown on a Celtic State of Mind's website, axom.net, as I have done myself, and I reposted one of the archive pieces this morning in relation to the remarkable rise of Scott Brown, who I've named the ringleader of the tormentors, because I think he is a character who is derided, as is Neil Lennon and Peter Lowell. The actual three head figures of the club, the captain and manager and the CEO, are much derided amongst Scottish football. But again, it's really just a measure of his success that he has had that impact. What I don't like is when he's singled out by fellow professionals and managers of other clubs within the league, and fairly recently we've had that outpouring of frustration, envy, jealousy from the likes of Derek McInnes, if you like, and Graham Shinney was always one for going toe-to-toe with Scott Brown. Others have come and failed, and I'm thinking one of the biggest, high, most profile players was Joey Barton, who came along and basically made out that Scott Brown wasn't in his league. Scott Brown gave him a 20-yard stare and Barton shuffled off down to England somewhere. So what was your thoughts on that? That's more your kind of era, Declan, in your kind of adult support and life at Celtic. These challenges that people keep throwing down to Scott Brown and how he compares, how happy are you to see him just knocking them right out of the park?
I think for a lot of folk, the end of that 2015-16 season under Ronnie, a lot of people were kind of questioning, where's this going with Scott? Is it time up? Is he going to be here much longer? And then Brendan came in, inevitably he scores the goal that qualifies Celtic for the Champions League against Hapoel Beersheva, and he just kicked on that season. As you say, Barton's came in, Chancha, big names have came up from down south, Scott Arfield and another one, and they've failed. even Steve Davis coming back. And big games, people say, yep, at times Scott's maybe been bullied by them or whatever. It's been, you know, and Celtic have lost a game, but he's still picking up all these trophies, which says everything it does. And probably in the first season of the Invincible table, if Moussa Dembele and Scott Sinclair hadn't been so fantastic, we could have probably been looking at Scott winning back-to-back Player of the Year awards and the Invincible season that we won the treble and the double treble season, which as his testimonial year, 10 years at the club, double treble, Player of the Year, doesn't really get much better. And I think that was a great year of celebration of what Scott Brown has given to Celtic.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And I think when you mention testimonials, he will undoubtedly be one of the final players to be granted a testimonial, I think, at Celtic Football Club, certainly, because, you know, the modern game has changed so much that 2 or 3 years at each club is the norm. And I think that's why we've got a certain dynamic within this particular side at the moment, where we've got the mainstays, we've got the talisman, not just one, and it's Scott Brown and it's James Forrest and Callum McGregor. They're the three. And, you know, we also have the experience of the likes of Lee Griffiths, who is back in the side prior to the coronavirus calling off all the fixtures. Scott Brown, when you mentioned there about Scott Arfield, I mean, the only time Arfield's ever shone's when Brown was unfit. And he didn't have the class to deal with that, you know, winning a meaningless game against Celtic. And he's goading Scott Brown by doing the Bruni. And I think that, again, is just a measure of the man. Scott Arfield's a Celtic fan. Did you know that, Declan? Celtic
fan. No, I never knew that.
I grew up a Celtic fan. And, you know, when you look at the achievements of Arfield compared to Scott Brown, they're not even in the same league. They're not even in the same league. So Brown, you know, he took that. He took that on the chin. And he's gone on to prove once again that he is the ringleader of the tormentors. You mentioned Ronnie Dyla. What happened to Brown under Dyla, in your opinion?
First season under Ronnie, everything seemed to go fine. We won the double, League Cup, League. And the second season, it just seemed to crumble. I don't know whether it was a bad communication down with the manager. You know, obviously we've seen certain stories about Charlie Mulgrew, etc. Anthony Stokes not having a great relationship. Obviously the scene in Mulder and Chris Commons, mm-hmm. as they go at the gaffer, there seemed to be a breakdown with the older players. And I don't know how Scott initially dealt with that. But it just doesn't seem to work. And it looked, although in those games that season, we only won the league, at times Scott wasn't fit and just didn't look fit to be playing games of football. And didn't play a lot of games of football that season, I think 20 odd games. And everybody, especially that Scottish Cup semi-final, was really, really questioning what was going to happen, because, you know, he was getting older. He wasn't, you know, I mean, he's going to be 35 this year and he still looks very fit. But that particular season, there was big questions arising of where does Scott go next? I think he proved all those doubters at Hampden that day wrong for what he went on to do.
I've got to admit, the time where I doubted Scott Browning, I was proven wrong like many, many others, was after Kebabgate, because I was looking at the fact that, yes, footballers are human, Declan. Footballers go out and have a good time with their mates, with their family, that kind of thing. It's totally acceptable. But I think that because of the way the team was kind of going at that stage, what you were looking for was you were looking for your captain to be a shining example. And obviously you had some young guys coming through at that stage as well. I'm thinking Kieran Tierney, for example, who quite clearly looked up to Bruni and would mimic him in relation to his training gear or going out with the short sleeves and all that kind of stuff. And I was really surprised when Brown was caught with a kebab, obviously. And that was the time where I kind of doubted whether or not he had more of a long-term career at Celtic. He completely proved me and others wrong. You mentioned there, or you touched on, the issues that Ronnie perhaps had with the more senior players. I think that's pretty obvious when you look at how many of the players were retained by Brendan Rodgers when he came in. And obviously there's a famous meeting down in London with Scott Brown when Brendan Rodgers told him what his blueprint was for the club and how Scott Brown may or may not be part of that. But it was all down to Bruni, and I think he's proved through his application, he's looking much, much leaner and fitter over the last 3.5 seasons, Declan. And again, he retired from international football, which I think was a big thing at his age. On the wrong side of 30, you've got to play 2 games every single week for Celtic. And if you get a couple of breaks during the season at that age, I think that is paramount. How long? I mean, I keep going on about the 500 club. There's 12 players who have played more than 500 competitive games for Celtic. Scott Brown's in that. He's in that club. He's now made well over 550 appearances. How many more seasons can he churning out 50 games a year. He's going to be 35 in a couple of months' time. By the next time he plays for Celtic, he'll be 35. Is he one of these players, do you think, Declan, that can play up to maybe 38?
I certainly do. I think we can easily maybe get another 100 games out of Scott. He just seems to keep going. At this point in time, as you say, he'll be 35 in June. He still looks fit as a fiddle. He still looks as if he can just keep going on and playing games and probably break into maybe past, probably surpass Bobby Evans, and looks as if he might pass Bobby Lennox and maybe can I go into that number 7 space. Whether they'll catch up with Paddy Bonner is another question.
You quite correctly said there that Scott Brown has now surpassed Bobby Evans. Bobby Evans was on 537 appearances. Bruni made his 550th back in November, and he was obviously racking up the appearances coming to the end of this season as Celtic pursued a league and Scottish Cup. Bobby Lennox is on 586. You would expect Bruni to go beyond that next season at some stage. And then, you know, you're then looking at Pat Bonner, Alec McNair on 641, and then Danny McGrain up at 663. If Brown was able to make another 100 appearances over and above what he's got at the moment, then you're looking at, you know, Danny McGrain territory, which is just astonishing. Yeah. It really is astonishing when you think of the trials and tribulations of Bruni and people losing faith in him. And I've admitted that there's been occasions where certainly I have done the same. And when we do lift that trophy, the 9 in a row, I think when you look back over the 9 seasons, that obviously Scott Brown has been the number one player for Celtic during that period. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think he's came through that with a lot of, you know, change of manager as well, none more so than into the treble season when the manager leaves at the end of February. He is the constant that when Neil Lennon walks back through the door, he can turn to and speak to get a good gauge of the players, along with John Kennedy. So he's been certainly pivotal in 8 in a row, which obviously we wouldn't be anywhere near 9 if he didn't win 8. So especially in that case, where he was really, really key in my opinion, when Brendan left and he came back, he was a really big player. And he can take great satisfaction when Celtic are crowned 9 in a row champions from the impact that he's had in the club and getting to that stage.
I totally agree with you there. I think that when Brendan Rodgers left, and in the manner in which he did, and we all know about what he did and why he did it, what his motivation was, Scott Brown was a player, for me, who dragged Celtic over the line for that treble, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think I said at the time, and I was criticised for saying it, that it was more satisfying for me, the treble, than the invincible treble, because we were basically thrown under a bus by Brendan Rodgers, you know, decimating the backroom team, leaving at that stage of the season. But we were able to pull it together. And obviously the two guys, for me, that were the main reasons for that were Neil Lennon and Scott Brown coming through that. One final question, Declan. Again, I'm a great advocate of the boot room, the old-fashioned boot room, which I think Celtic had certainly and right up to the 1970s, whereby ex-players would make that journey from the playing pitch into the backroom team and possibly even into the manager's chair. It was the early 90s before a manager was in place who hadn't played for the club, in Liam Brady. Can you see Scott Brown becoming a coach or future manager at Celtic?
100%. I think what happened with Neil, what's happened obviously with Stephen McManus, Dan O'Day coming back and John Kennedy's role, I can definitely see Scott doing that, because as you said earlier on, for guys like Kieran Tierney breaking into the team and Cal McGregor, they were able to look at Scott, model themselves on him as a professional, which I think is a good thing and is always going to be something you want to have around the club. If you go up to Lennoxtown, you've still got John Clark as helping out with the kits. I know he's not the official kit man, but he's still in the background of things. You've got George McCluskey there as a youth coach, Stephen McManus, Dan O'Day, John Kennedy. They've all gave something to Celtic, and they've all came through that progression. So if you add Scott Brown to that mix, it can only benefit the club, and it can only benefit younger talent that will hopefully come through in later years.
Absolutely agree with you with that, Declan. Now, this is a series of treble podcasts that I'll be doing with you. We've already covered Odson Edwards and Scott Brown's input into what has been a truly incredible period of time for Celtic supporters and the club itself. Have a wee think, Declan, as to who we'll be speaking about next, and I'll catch up with you next week. Stay safe, and I'll speak to you soon.
Okay, take care. We'll be right back.
Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit CANeighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.